Okay, we are going to start a new study today called Growing Up. Growing Up. How many here are glad that they are no longer 2 years old? A two-year-old is all about what? He's all about me, myself, and I, right? He's the center of his own world, right? But how many here today are glad that you are a grown-up, an adult? You have grown into adulthood. All right, I'm glad. We know the world a little better, and we have the ability to develop relationships. You know, in our spiritual lives, it is time for us to grow up in God. And you know, some Christians remain spiritual infants their entire lives. But we need to become spiritual adults, growing up spiritually. Our relationship with God needs to be developed and deepened. You know, God wants us to know Him better. There is a practice that will help us know God better. There's a practice that will help us grow up spiritually. Anybody have a guess what that practice is? That's it, man. This brother hit the nail on the head. It's getting into the B-I-B-L-E. I've heard it said before that the B-I-B-L-E can stand for basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, Paul the Apostle, in his epistle to the Colossians, talks about the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 16, if you have a Bible. Colossians 3:16. He has some good stuff to say about the Word. When you're there, just lift up your head. All right? We'll wait here just another moment.
Is it called
Colossians? Colossians 3:16. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let me ask you this. What is the word of Christ? What does the word of Christ include? Okay. It includes the Old Testament prophecies about Christ and His ministry, their fulfillment in the New Testament, as well as the epistles in the New Testament and the Gospels. In other words, the Word of Christ includes the entire Bible, B-I-B-L-E. You agree with that? Now, how do you learn more about a famous person? Maybe a famous minister, a famous politician, a business leader, a corporate executive, somebody like Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Ronald Reagan. How do you learn more about these men? What's one of the ways to learn more about them? By doing what?
Research,
okay, anybody? Read about them, that's good. Maybe reading their autobiography. An autobiography gives you a closer look into their life, into their ministry, into their political career. Does that make sense? Well, you know what? We serve a famous God, the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, the famous one, lives on the inside of you and me. How do we get to know Him better? How do we get to know our famous God better? That's it. By letting the Word of Christ dwell on the inside of us. Now, what does it mean to let the Word of Christ in Colossians 3:16 to dwell in you? What does it mean for it to dwell in you? Say it again. To soak in. That's good. It means that the Bible, the Word of Christ, should take up residence in your hearts and in your minds. It should live on the inside of you. So how do you cause the Word of Christ to dwell on the inside of you? It's simple. Think about it for a moment. How do you cause the Word of Christ to dwell in you? That's it, by reading it. God has given us a wonderful gift called eyes. And He's given us the ability to read English, right? So what we have to do is take this Bible that He's given us, open it up, crack the book, and begin reading with our eyes. And as this Word enters the eye gate, it gets into your mind and then drops into your spirit. And He says, let it dwell in you. How? Let it dwell in you poorly. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does He mean by letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly? Abundantly. That's it. He got it. Abundantly. To the point where it's overflowing out of your life, out of our lives. Now, does the Word of Christ dwell in us richly by reading it once every 3 months? Daily. Once every 2 months? Once a month? Once every 2 weeks? Once a week? No. How do you cause the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly? By reading it how much? How often? Daily. That's it. Consistently. On a daily basis. And friend, I understand you may not have a lot of time in the morning. You may not be able to read 2 or 3 chapters a day out of the Bible. But start with maybe 2 or 3 scriptures a day. Not only read it, but you've got to do what else? You've got to meditate on it on a consistent basis. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but, here's the key, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So for the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, abundantly, to the point where it's overflowing out of your life, you've got to read it and
speak it.
Meditate on it. What does it mean to meditate on the Word of Christ? What does it mean to meditate? It means to think about what you've read. If you read a scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for instance, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read that scripture. Think about what you've read and take some notes on it. That's meditating. Now, how many here know what a cow does with its cud?
It chews it.
It chews it, right? Brings it down to its stomach and brings it back up again a number of times. It's chewing its cud. Well, friend, in the same way, we have got to chew on the Word of God. You've got to read it consistently every single day. You've got to meditate on the scriptures you read. Take notes on what you're reading. Now, how many here eat their physical breakfast once a month? Oh, yeah, I go, you know, some people might think or say playfully, yeah, you know, I'll have bacon and eggs once a month or once a week. No, or cereal maybe once a month. No, we like to have our physical breakfast how often if we could? Every single morning. It's medically shown that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. We like to have it every single morning if we could, right? It gives you physical strength for the physical challenges you face that day. Well, guess what, friend? Just like Wheaties is the breakfast of champions, reading and meditating upon the Word of Christ is the breakfast of winners. Getting into this Word at the start of every day is your spiritual breakfast. It gives you spiritual nourishment and strength for the spiritual challenges you may face for that day. You know, the enemy is going to try to throw temptations across our path. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. What did the enemy do? What did the devil do to Jesus? 3 times. What did he do? He tempted him. He said he knew Jesus was hungry. Matthew 4:3. The tempter came to the Son of God. Tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus in verse 4 of Matthew 4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil tempts him again in verse 6. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands. so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And what did Jesus do again in Matthew 4:7? He says what? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again in verse 8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say in verse 10? What did he do? He quoted what? The word away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Verse 11, then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Jesus had the word richly stored up on the inside of him, right? He was spiritually strong so that when the enemy threw spiritual temptations at him, what did he do? What did Jesus do? Matthew chapter 4. He quoted the word of God from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And it says the devil left him. Jesus is our model for everyday living, right? If Jesus did it, if he got into the word, if he knew the word, if he meditated on it, so should we. 1 John 2:6, if we claim to live in Christ, we must walk as Christ walked. The walk of Christ was a walk of being full of the Word of God. Do you agree? Now, let me ask you this today. How does the Word of Christ, dwelling richly on the inside of you, grow you up, mature you spiritually? Say it again. How does the Word of Christ, dwelling richly on the inside of you, mature you spiritually? Flip back to Colossians 3:16 if you'd like. Any ideas out there?
Can't you leave the elementary principles and press onward to, you know, higher things?
Yes.
Like the elementary principles are just the basic concept of repentance and
yes.
Turning away from the salvation
of Christ. Correct. How does it grow you up spiritually? How does it allow you to get to know God better? Well, this is it. It reveals God's nature. When you get into the Word of Christ, the nature of God is revealed. And what does it say in 1 John 4:16 about God? It says that God is what? God is love. And how is love most strongly demonstrated? It's demonstrated by giving. And we know according to the Word of God that 2,000 years ago, God gave what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His Son to die upon a cross so that we would not have to die in hell. So by reading the Word of God, we come to find out that God is a God of love. You know, in Luke chapter 15, it talks about the prodigal son and the father. You know, the son left his dad, said, give me the inheritance before you die. And the dad gave him. The son went and lived a prodigal life, ended up eating with the pigs, but he came back to his dad. His dad gave him a second chance because his dad loved him. In that parable, the father represents whom? It represents Father God, that God is a God of love. His mercies are everlasting. So when we get into the Word of God, into the Word of Christ, the B-I-B-L-E, it reveals the nature of God, that God is a God of love. And that He loves you and me so very much. And once you realize how much God loves you, it makes you want to love God back. It makes you want to say, God, what do you want me to do with my life personally? God, I surrender my life to Your will. Because God, I've gotten a deeper and closer look at You from Your Word. So it's important to be in the Word of God because it reveals the nature of God to us. Number two, how does the Word of Christ grow us up, mature us spiritually as we read it, as we meditate upon it? Not once a month, but once a day. How does it grow us up spiritually, the Word of Christ? Anybody have any ideas? Another way it grows us up spiritually?
It
It reveals the voice and the heart of God to us. It reveals the voice and the heart of God to us. In Matthew chapter 12, what did Jesus say? Matthew 12, I believe it's verse 34. Jesus says in Matthew 12, 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you're in relationship with someone, the words that they speak to you reveals their what? It reveals what's in their heart. It reveals who they are. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, guess what? These written words in this Bible are the words of what? They are the words of God. So these words in this B-I-B-L-E reveal the heart of God. Because out of the abundance of God's heart, these words were written in the Bible. That makes sense? So, you know, if you've got a friend, how many here have a best friend? Best friend. You've got a concern, you've got an issue, you need some advice on something, and you communicate with that friend, right? You tell this friend what's bothering you. And this friend communicates back with words. It reveals what's on the inside of this friend. Well, you know what? God wants to be your best friend. He wants you to bring your issues and your concerns and your thoughts and your challenges to Him. And He wants to respond back to you by this word of Christ that is richly stored up, dwelling on the inside of you. What did the psalmist write in Psalm 119, verse 11? He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You've got to hide the word of God, the word of Christ on the inside, so it dwells there richly, so that when you face a challenge or an issue or a question and you bring it before God in prayer, God can respond to you by the word of Christ taking up residence richly on the inside of you. But the only way that God's word can spring forth out of your mouth when you face a challenge is by you having it stored up there, by reading it consistently every single day. Is that making sense to you? So for instance, say that you're facing a challenge with another person, and this person backstabs you. This person lies about you to your boss, tries to demean you, tries to take down your reputation. First natural human response is what? Man, I want to get even with this person, right? I want to retaliate. I want vengeance. And you go to God and say, God, what should I do about this challenge? God, I pray to you, what do you want me to do? And the word of Christ stored up deeply on the inside of you, richly abounding there, taking up residence on the inside of you, speaks to you. And God says, forgive. Just as in Christ I forgave you of your sins. Ephesians 4:32. God responds to you how concerning that? By His what? By His what? By His word that does what? That dwells richly on the inside of you. And when God responds to you that way by His word stored up on the inside of you, it also reveals His heart that He is a forgiving God. Let's say you're in a traffic jam. And you just need to get to this appointment 10 minutes ago. And you're stuck. And you start losing patience. And you know, people are cutting you off and you're getting into road rage. You're getting angry. You got to be there. You got to be there. Right? And you're like, God, I'm in the midst of this challenge. God, what do I do? I'm in this traffic jam. I'm in this long line waiting. And God responds to you by the word stored up on the inside of you. Richly dwelling there. He says, be patient. It is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And you're like, wow, that word just sprung up out of me. Be patient. It's God's word speaking to you about a challenge in your life. Is that making sense? Not only does it speak to your challenge and help you, but it reveals that what? It reveals the heart of God that He is a patient God. Let's say a friend of yours experienced some type of loss. A loved one, a friend, a job. And this person in your life is grieving. And you're like, God, what do I do with this person? This person is grieving. This is kind of a challenge to me. I don't know how to approach it. And God responds to you from the Word richly dwelling on the inside of you. And He says from 2 Corinthians 1, just be a person of comfort. Speak comforting words into this grieving person's life. 2 Corinthians 1. Not only did God respond to you by His Word stored up on the inside of you, it also revealed that God is what? Reveals the heart of God that God is a God of comfort. You see? You know, when you get into the Word of God, you find out that He's a merciful God, that He's a gracious God, that He's a joyful God, that He is a God who's got something good in store for you, that He's a God who's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Is that making sense? So that you may encounter somebody who's struggling with what they're called to do on this earth. And you're like, God, I want to help this person. What do I do? What do I tell them? And God responds to you by His Word, richly dwelling on the inside of you from Jeremiah 29:11. So you speak to that person. God knows the purpose He has for you. A prosperous end. A hope. A future. An expected end. You're able to speak into that person's life by the Word of Christ richly dwelling on the inside of you. Not only is it a response to that person's question, but that also does what? It reveals the heart of God that God has got a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. But you got to read it, friends. The Word of God, the Word of Christ cannot spring up from you unless it's on the inside of you first. It's got to be dwelling there richly by reading and meditating. How often? On a what basis? Once a month basis? No, on a daily basis. So how many this week will commit to start reading the Word of God every single day? It reveals the voice and the heart of Almighty God. Every single day. And you know, I know you have good intentions to do it, but you just got to do it. Just crack the book for 5-10 minutes every single morning. It doesn't have to be a lot of word that you read. Let it be a scripture or two. But read it and think about what you read. Take notes on what you are reading. This will help grow you up spiritually. It'll allow you to get to know God just a little bit better. And then he says in Colossians 3:16, to finish off the verse. We'll read the whole verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So the word of God is going to speak to your situation, your challenge, but at the same time, the word of Christ dwelling richly on the inside of you will speak into other people's lives. It will overflow out of you to minister to others, as Paul writes in Colossians 3:16. You know, when you teach somebody the word of Christ, you remember it just a little better. It's reinforced that much better. And you might not be called to pulpit ministry, to where you're speaking the Word of Christ publicly. But you can speak the Word of Christ on a one-on-one basis. Find a Timothy that you can pour into, that you can mentor. You can be a Paul to a Timothy. But in order to do that, you've got to have God's Word on the inside of you. And when you're sharing this word with somebody else, you remember the word that much better. Amen? We can also minister to God with the word. It says, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, ministering to God through His word, singing psalms unto God. Isn't that awesome? And as you sing psalms and spiritual songs to God, you remember the word of Christ even that much better. So say it with me today. This week, I will commit to start reading the Word of Christ on a daily basis. Not only reading it, but meditating upon what I read. In Jesus' name. Amen. It will reveal the nature, the voice, and the heart of God to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to do it, friends. It's awesome. It is awesome. This is a double-edged sword, the Word of God. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen?